Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Amy Cesaire's Discourse on Colonialism is a landmark political essay that confronts the moral, cultural, and economic claims used to justify European empire. Written in the aftermath of World War II and amid accelerating decolonization struggles, it argues that colonial rule is not a civilizing mission, but a system built on violence, extraction, and racial hierarchy. Cesaire, a poet and politician from Martinique associated with the Negritude movement, writes with a mix of historical critique and moral urgency, linking overseas domination to crises within Europe itself. The book challenges readers to see colonialism as a process that dehumanizes the colonized and corrodes the colonizer, normalizing brutality and hypocrisy while presenting itself as progress. Rather than offering a detached academic account, Cesaire frames colonialism as a central feature of modernity and capitalism, demanding honest reckoning and political change. The result is concise, provocative, and still widely cited in post-colonial studies and anti-racist thought. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, colonialism as a system of violence, not a civilizing project. A central argument of the essay is that colonialism must be understood as an organized system of coercion rather than a benevolent program of development. Cesaire challenges the familiar narratives that portray empire as spreading education, Christianity, law, or modern infrastructure. He insists that these justifications obscure the primary reality of conquest, forced labor, land seizure, and punitive policing. In his framing, improvements sometimes cited by colonial apologists are either incidental, designed to serve extraction, or used as propaganda to mask domination. By naming violence as structural, he shifts the debate from isolated abuses to the underlying logic of rule. The colony exists to be controlled and exploited, and brutality is not a deviation but a tool. This topic also emphasizes how colonial ideology depends on devaluing colonized peoples. If a population is imagined as inferior or childlike, the colonizer can present coercion as guidance and dispossession as stewardship. Cesaire urges readers to recognize how language about progress and order can sanitize harm. The essay therefore becomes a method for reading political rhetoric. Look past moral claims and examine who holds power, who benefits economically, and what forms of force sustain the arrangement. The takeaway is that colonialism cannot be reformed into a humane mission without dismantling its foundational purpose and mechanisms. Secondly, the boomerang effect, how empire corrupts the colonizer. Cesaire argues that colonialism does not only damage the colonized, it also deforms the societies that practice it. He presents empire as a moral and political training ground where cruelty becomes routine, legal exceptionalism expands, and racism becomes normalized. Practices developed in the colonies such as collective punishment, censorship, surveillance, and the casual acceptance of mass suffering can return to the metropole. In this sense, colonialism functions as a boomerang. Violence exported abroad reshapes institutions and sensibilities at home. This point matters because it reframes colonial history as European history, not a distant side story. Cesaire presses readers to see that the values Europe claimed to represent, universal rights, humanism, and rational governance, were undermined by the everyday realities of imperial rule. When a society repeatedly justifies domination by declaring certain humans less than fully human, that logic can expand, eroding the boundaries that protect anyone. He links imperial racism to broader patterns of authoritarianism and mass violence, arguing that the acceptance of brutality in the colonies prepares the ground for brutality within Europe. As an analytical tool, the boomerang effect helps explain why democracies can coexist with overseas repression, and why ideologies of superiority can persist even in cultures that celebrate Enlightenment ideals. The argument challenges readers to judge societies by what they permit in the name of empire, not only by their self-image. Thirdly, racism and dehumanization as the engine of colonial rule. Another major topic is the role of racism in sustaining empire. In For Cesaire, racial hierarchy is not an accidental prejudice layered onto economic exploitation. It is a necessary mechanism that makes exploitation politically and psychologically possible. Thus, by constructing colonized people as lesser beings, colonial powers can rationalize unequal wages, stolen land, restricted rights, and violent discipline. Dehumanization also reduces moral friction for soldiers, administrators, and citizens who might otherwise resist cruelty. The essay thus treats racism as a technology of governance, shaping institutions, education, scholarship, and public opinion. Cesaire critiques the intellectual scaffolding that supported imperial domination, including selective anthropology, biased histories, and theories of cultural evolution that placed Europe at the top. He challenges readers to notice how seemingly neutral knowledge production can serve power by defining what counts as civilization and who is considered capable of self-government. This is not only a historical claim, It is a warning about how categories and stereotypes can persist after formal empire ends. By emphasizing dehumanization, the book also connects political liberation to cultural and psychological liberation. If colonialism works by making a people doubt their own worth, then decolonization must include restoring dignity, agency, and historical memory. The topic encourages readers to examine how modern inequalities can echo older hierarchies, and why confronting racism is inseparable from confronting the economic structures it enables. Fourthly, colonialism, capitalism, and the economics of extraction. Césaire situates colonialism within an economic framework, portraying it as a project of extraction that benefits metropolitan elites and corporate interests. In this view, colonies are not primarily cultural experiments, but sources of raw materials, cheap labor, strategic ports, and captive markets. Administrative systems, transportation networks, and legal codes are designed to facilitate these flows, often at immense human cost. This approach challenges explanations that treat empire as the result of curiosity, missionary zeal, or national prestige alone. Instead, it highlights how economic incentives shape policy and create enduring dependencies. The essay points to the contradictions of a system that proclaims universal values while organizing global inequality. Wealth accumulates in the center while poverty is managed in the periphery through repression, debt, and the suppression of local industry. Césaire also implies that colonialism distorts development by forcing economies into narrow roles, discouraging diversified growth, and leaving newly independent states with fragile structures. This topic remains influential because it links moral critique to material analysis. Readers are encouraged to follow the money: who owns land, who controls trade routes, who writes labor laws, and whose losses are treated as acceptable. It also invites comparisons with later forms of economic domination that can operate without formal colonies, suggesting that anti-colonial thinking must pay attention to finance, trade, and corporate power alongside political sovereignty. Lastly, decolonization, humanism, and the demand for a new political imagination beyond condemnation, the book presses for a rethinking of humanism and political order after empire. Césaire rejects a version of European humanism that proclaims lofty ideals while tolerating colonial violence. He calls for a more honest universalism grounded in equality, solidarity, and the recognition of colonized peoples as full historical subjects. This is not simply an appeal to goodwill, it is a demand for structural change and a break with ideologies that ranked cultures and justified domination. In practical terms, the essay supports decolonization as an urgent historical process rather than a gradual gift from colonial powers. It treats liberation as both political and cultural. Political, because sovereignty and self-determination are necessary to end coercive rule. Cultural, because colonized societies must be free to define their identities, priorities, and futures without being measured against imperial standards. Césaire also offers a framework for post-colonial critique by insisting that modern crises cannot be solved while colonial logic remains intact. The future requires new institutions and new ways of imagining relationships among peoples, ones not built on hierarchy and extraction. For readers, this topic turns the essay into a tool for evaluating contemporary debates about international intervention, development aid, and cultural assimilation. It encourages an ethic of reciprocity and accountability, asking what genuine equality would require in policy and in everyday thinking. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a foundational, uncompromising critique of empire, including students of history, politics, philosophy, sociology, and postcolonial studies. It also serves activists, educators, and general readers trying to understand how colonial legacies shape present-day racism, global inequality, and political rhetoric. Because Césaire ties moral language to material realities, the essay helps readers sharpen their ability to detect when claims about civilization or development are being used to excuse domination. The benefit to a reader's life is largely intellectual and civic. It strengthens critical thinking, improves historical literacy, and offers a framework for connecting personal commitments to justice with concrete systems of power. By emphasizing how violence and dehumanization become normalized, it can deepen ethical awareness and encourage more responsible engagement with current events. Compared to similar books, Discourse on Colonialism stands out for its density, clarity, and force. Many texts either focus narrowly on economics or only on culture, but Césaire brings both together while also exposing the psychological and political costs to the colonizer. It is short enough to reread, yet rich enough to anchor a full course of study. For buyers, it offers exceptional value as a classic argument that continues to inform debates about decolonization and human rights. If you would like to support Aimé Césaire, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.